Okay, it's 9 o'clock. I'd like to call our meeting, Pathways Academy, for June 3rd to order. I'd like to have roll call. Rudy Kostelic.
Present.
Charlie Padilla.
Present.
Tom Schaff, present. I would like a motion to approve our agenda for today.
So moved, Charlie.
Second, Rudy.
I have a first and second. I'll call for the vote. Rudy.
Aye.
Charlie?
Aye.
Tom Schaff, aye. Our agenda has been approved for today. Are there any public comments or reports at this time? Seeing none, looking out my front door, seeing none. Mm-hmm. Going on to number four, correspondence, proposals, and reports. Jerem?
Yes, good morning, everybody. It's good to see everyone. A couple of things to report on, highlights that I wanted to share. I'm going to share my screen here and just give me one sec here and set that up. Okay, you should be seeing my screen now. Is that correct?
No.
No.
Looks like it. There it is.
There it is. Okay. Very good. Thank you. So we're still waiting on May's numbers to come in because we just finished that up last week on Friday. But looking at April's numbers, which some of you have seen this already, but this will be new for a couple of you, is a significant increase again in enrollment if we're comparing year over year. Looking back just a few years ago, right? 2020 was 73, then 93 in enrollment, 151, 203 in 2 years ago. Last year, this time it was 469, 741 in April. I know that enrollment has dropped a little bit since then, in large part because we're towards the end of the year. We're not enrolling for this current year. We're doing enrollments for next year, which the school year begins for us on July 11th. So you'll see in May's enrollment report that it's gone down a little. But that's okay and to be expected. And one is because we're not continuously enrolling them because it's the end of this semester here and we're enrolling them for next year. And then we're rolling over the students from this year to next year as well as new enrollments. And then also we've had a significant number of graduates. I'm happy to report that through yesterday, we had 645 graduates so far. So this is just outstanding. If we look at, and I'm going to bump over to another screen here. If we look at graduates here, last year's total was 322. Through April, we had 499. But as I indicated just a few minutes ago, we don't have all of May's numbers in yet. But I can tell you that it was 645 when I looked at it yesterday. So that's more than double last year, which, to be honest, I thought we were kind of pushing it with the thought process and goal, internal goal was to get to about 500, but getting to 645 is fantastic. So very, very excited about that. So many graduates. We're going to have our graduate ceremony virtually on Monday, as you're aware, and excited about that. We've been doing some run-throughs for it. There'll be about 300, a little bit more than that, have RSVP'd of the graduates that are will be attending. So I guess if you're looking at it, about half of them have RSVP'd so that they want to attend that virtual graduation. But that alone is last year we had, you know, 322 graduates and in attendance at the ceremony, we had about 150. So it seems like about half seem to attend, but we do a great effort to try to get them all to attend, including their families. Warner Unified will also be at that ceremony attending. And then I know many of you will be there as well. So it's an exciting time towards the end of the year here for Pathways, both in increases in enrollment, increases in graduates, also increases in our ADA. If you look at this, it's a year over year. I'll go back to actually this screen here to look at the ADA, and you could see from the chart just a significant increase from several years ago where we were at 20, 20, then 69, which we thought was an amazing feat, which it was at the time, more than doubling it. Then we went to 126, doubled it again, then 352 last year, and now, in April we're at 576. We're projecting in a budget, which you'll see later for next year, about over 700 for our ADA for next year, 25, 26. So just fantastic growth. It's not come without a concerted effort to get that growth. There's been so many hands in the pot, so to speak, to be able to make that happen, from teachers and the amazing job that they do, and the students telling other of their friends and family about the school, but also from our WIOA partners that we've established and the relationships that are going extremely well with them, and the increased number of partnerships that we're having. So there's a lot of reasons why these numbers are going up, but it's definitely a concerted effort by from top to bottom throughout the organization that we want to continue to serve more and more students in the most effective ways possible. It's not just about getting more numbers, getting more enrollment, getting more ADA, getting more graduates, but it's serving them in a very quality, high effective way. And I think we're definitely doing that and continuing to improve in those areas. On that note, we are looking to, as I have on the agenda there for 4.1, that we're looking to re-enroll, recertify with DAS. That'll be coming up here in the next several weeks. That is extremely helpful for charter renewal because it helps to measure the school in a more effective way, given the students that we serve. I can go into more details about that at another time if needs be, but I know that I've talked about it on a number of occasions. The other thing is, we're also looking at, and I'm going to stop sharing here, we're also looking at an assessment tool that we purchased just recently called IXL. IXL is a really, really good assessment tool that we're going to use internally for all students that are enrolling, and we will periodically, every several weeks, retest them to find out how they're increasing in both English and math, and if we're improving over a period of time with those students. We're going to look at benchmarks for them and then compare them over time. We're going to train teachers about how to most effectively use it. Also, one of the reasons why we picked IXL for our assessment tool was because it has a built-in, not just assessment, but it has a built-in program where it specifically will tell you what each student needs, and then it builds in a curriculum within it to help mitigate the challenges that they're having, intervene in areas that they're having troubles with, capitalize on areas that they are doing really well at. So it's going to be a really good tool for us to use, and we're still also receiving training on it. So as I learn more, of course, about how we're applying IXL, our assessment tool, I will report on that. Probably, certainly in the next board meeting, I might very well have some data by then as well. As soon as I do have that data, I will share it at that whatever the next board meeting is after that. So really looking forward to using that. Students and district are excited about it, and I think it's going to be a really good moving forward for pathways, a more centralized, objective tool that we're using to measure student growth over time. I don't have anything more to report, but I'm open to any questions that anybody has.
I still like, I just saw that in our agenda we did not have the Pledge of Allegiance.
Oh, yes.
And we normally have that. And I would like to have Rudy lead us in that because it's important that we always do that at the beginning of our meetings. Rudy, at this time,
Yes,
would you please lead
certainly.
us?
Please rise and with hand over heart, repeat along with me the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America,
So angry
to
to the Republic for which it stands.
one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much, Rudy.
You bet.
Okay, Jerem, please carry on.
Sure. Thank you. So, any questions that anybody has about anything that I've reported on? Yes,
Yes,
Rudy.
I do. Thank you. It's always good news to see how many lives we're affecting. And indeed, the number of graduates that we have is a significant measure of the hard efforts and the successes we have with our students. Another measure is their success after they leave us, going on in their pursuit of a further education and employment. And I know that there's in process an effort to do follow-up, and I'm curious when we might hear more about that.
Yeah, I anticipate being able to report more on post-secondary efforts, the new tracking that we've been implementing at the next board meeting. I believe it's on the agenda for that board meeting already, but I will make sure that we address and talk about that at the next board meeting.
Okay, any precursors? Any little bits of information? Hints?
No, yeah, we still, I mean, we've implemented it. It's gone through the first cycle. I haven't looked at the data pertaining to that yet, but I know it should go through maybe one more cycle before the next board meeting, which will help us to have more data. But I don't have anything specific to report on that right now.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
Just a comment. I agree with Rudy. The fact that we're making a difference in the lives of 645 individuals is amazing. I commend our staff and administration. We that was far beyond my imagination that we could make that kind of impact, but we are. Glad to hear that we're looking at an instrument that's going to gauge our progress both individually and holistically throughout our organization with the IXL. Thank you.
That's it. Okay, Chair, next item.
So next item is 4.2. 4.2 is pertaining to a request from the board to have a little bit more discussion about legislative advocacy pertaining to an adult ed credential. Currently in the state of California, and particularly in San Diego County, and working with independent study students, high school students 9 through 12 in a public charter school. The only eligible credentials for teachers are special education credential, single subject credential, and a multiple subject credential. So one of those three, whereas the adult ed credential in the past was accepted several years ago, but it is no longer accepted for a grades 9 through 12 in a traditional public school. So I wanted to let you know about that and if there would be any questions pertaining to that.
Clarify, you just said in a traditional public school is so what you're saying is that in the adult education programs in the public schools at the school districts, the adult ed credential is no longer accepted for the high school diploma program?
It is at an adult ed program, but not in a traditional public school 9 through 12.
Okay, yeah, so nothing's changed in that regard. Okay.
Any other questions?
None for me. Thank you.
Okay, 4.3, Jerem.
4.3 was also a request from the board to talk about a process for new and replacement of board members. In the backup, there was some documents that we've looked at in the past that were requested that were sent out prior to this board meeting, which they were, I think, just after the last board meeting, they were shared and reshared in the backup, of course. But I think the board wanted to have some more discussion about that, so I'll open it up to the board's discussion pertaining to that.
Okay, any discussion, Rudy?
Yeah, there's a document that I had submitted a few months ago, and I had not received any feedback about it in subsequent board meetings. And quite frankly, I think it's pretty late in the process to spend the time going over this because we're already accepting applications, I understand, and it just seems like it would be time consuming. I was hoping that that would have been part of the process early on.
I appreciate that. Charlie?
Yeah, thank you, Rudy. And it's not a waste of time because I think that this is a document that we will be able to use in the future when there are openings on the school board. So I thank you, Rudy, for your time and effort in producing the document.
Okay. Moving on to our consent calendar. I'd like a motion to accept our consent calendar.
Is that including the item that I requested to have pulled?
It was that item now is 5.8, isn't it?
You would make a request at this time, Rudy, to approve the consent calendar with the pulling for further discussion right now for policy 4130, if I remember right.
That is correct.
Oh, okay. There it is. 'Cause okay, so it's been asked that we pull 5.8 for discussion. Do we have a motion to accept the consent calendar with the one revision?
So moved, Charlie.
A second.
A first and second. I'll call for the vote. Rudy?
Aye.
Charlie?
Aye.
Tom? Aye. Okay.
You want the I just text legal counsel should be joining us in just a minute. I told her that I would text her when we got to this item, and she's supposed to be joining us in just a second here. So,
Okay, we'll just wait for her. On that IXL, I've looked it up on the computer. Is there any literature, especially we should read on the testing that we could read about or?
I could look and see if there's some overview or summary that I could get to you. That might be helpful to help you understand a little bit better. If not, more concerted, or not a concerted, but more specific link that might be helpful as well. I'll make a note of that and I'll see what I could get you. Okay.
Would you get that out to all three of us, please?
Yes. I will do that. Going to call Wendy as well. Just give me one sec.
Okay. Just we're right on time, so just check it out. We'll get it. We'll get Wendy there and we'll be all set.
She's signing on now. Yeah, I'll look into something that might be a good summary of IXL for the board to take a look at.
Okay, from our consent calendar 5.8, do we need to make a motion to open up for discussion?
Yes, let's go ahead and do that.
Okay.
I move that we open for discussion item 5.8.
Thank you. Is
And most specifically, 5.8, because there's a couple ones on 5.8, it's policy 4130.
But everything that's under that's what we've just opened for discussion. And I had a second from Charlie and taking the vote for discussion. Rudy?
Aye.
Charlie?
Aye.
Tom? Aye. Now it's open for discussion. Jerem?
Great, thank you. I know that there was some questions pertaining to policy 4130, and I know that Wendy was here to help answer any concerns or questions that might pertain to that. Any
Okay,
questions for Wendy?
board members, a question after you've read 4130. Rudy, do you have a question?
Yeah, I have a few of them. One is, why are we doing this?
Well, there's multiple reasons why we wanted to do it, some of which were there's a significant cost that could come in from serving student or allowing employees from other states because the laws, the taxes, the human resource type law, as well as the reviews of contracts have to be done with those that pertain to that particular state. So that's one of the reasons. It also can open itself up to.
Part to that, what's a rough ballpark figure for a particular cost per employee, and what is our experience to date with that?
Well, for instance, just looking at a contract review, which we've done over the past couple of years, it's per employee, it's well over about $2,000 just for the contract review. But that's if there's no concern with the contract, then that's where it would sit. If there's more discussion that needs to take place, it would be more than 2,000. Plus,
So,
if there's any.
this second contract review for what does a contract review require for a instructor?
We look at the employment contract and have it looked at in that particular state where the employee resides to make sure it is aligned with the laws in that state.
Gotcha. So the significant thing is the state laws. Okay, got that. Never heard
Could I
that.
add to that, Jerem, just a little bit?
Sure.
When you have an employee in another state, you're actually supposed to require to register to do business in that state as a corporation. So there could be fees such as that. You are with your employee in that state, you're also subject to the laws of that state. So yes, we review the contract to make sure the contract is compliant, but you could also be subject to other types of sick leave laws, other types of employment laws, other types of paid vacation. You may have to pay unemployment in that state. And you may have to withhold taxes in that state. So there are associated costs that go along with that if you have an employee in the other state for legal fees, for accountant fees, and for all of the other kind of associated things that happen.
Okay, I had not heard that before. Thank you.
So we've elected to, in practice for past couple of years now, unless you have prior approval, which only one employee does and has been quote grandfathered into that, and that's okay. We have no problem with that. But we have not permitted anybody over the past couple of years to reside out of state other than the one that was pre-approved several years ago when we changed the policy. But we thought we would more
Froze.
clearly per
Jerem,
legal counsel. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
you
Yes.
had frozen.
Oh, I did. I'm sorry. We had checked in with legal counsel and HR and decided that it would be good to more clearly articulate this in a policy. Hence, we have it in the handbook as well as the policy 4130, which is on the consent today.
So you already answered one question, one more question. I think you did anyway, and that is that anybody who is currently working out of state will be grandfathered in.
There's nobody that's working out of state except for one that was a couple of years ago, and they were already grandfathered in. But there's nobody currently other
Froze.
than one person that was grandfathered a couple of years ago.
But no one currently working from out of state.
Yeah, one.
Just the one that was grandfathered from a couple of years ago.
Okay. So wouldn't it be fair to grandfather in anybody else who was hired before this significant change in policy?
If there was one, but we don't have anybody that lives out of state
Well,
that's working.
I'm thinking of the person who isn't now planning to do that, but maybe has a significant other or family that moves out of state, and that person not having been hired while this policy was in place, why wouldn't we grandfather such a person in?
We've had this policy in place for a couple of years. It's just been embedded into 4130. in this case, but it's already been something that we've talked about with every single employee when they come on board for a couple of years now.
So that's something recent newly employed people have already signed off on.
Yes. Well, they haven't signed off on it. We verbally have told them about it. This will allow them to now sign off in 4130. Okay. Makes it more clean, and we have documentation for it. That's one of the reasons why HR and legal recommended that we put it into this policy.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions?
Charlie?
No questions. I'm in complete support of the new policy.
And I was in support of the policy so that it would make it clearer and we wouldn't have this problem come up in the future.
Well, I don't know that we wouldn't have this problem come up in the future, Tom.
Well, I thought we tell everybody when we hire them that they must work in the state, and then they know if they do move to another state, we don't approve that. That's the way I understand our contract is, because then they end servicing and everything else.
That's the way that I understand too, but we have people that were hired in before we started telling people that this was part of a condition of employment. And those are the people that I'm concerned about.
Wendy, what would you think about that?
Employees that are currently employed?
Currently employed, and they, because we grandfathered one person in, but now with this new policy, would we grandfather anybody in after this?
I wouldn't think so. You have at-will employment for your employees, which means you have the right to change the terms and conditions of the employment at any time, as long as you provide notice, which you are doing and which has been in place for a couple of years. Grandfathering typically applies to people that are already doing this, which is the employee who is out of state. It doesn't mean that other employees who may have been hired during the time of the previous policy would still get to elect that choice. They haven't used it up till now, so they would all fall under the new policy. That's typically how employment policies would be applied.
So you would anticipate that there would be no one that would challenge that?
There would be no legal challenge. They don't have the right legally to challenge that. We're talking more of a typical way of that employers practice, but no, they wouldn't. They might be unhappy about it, but the problem is if you allowed employees to challenge it on that grounds, it just results in so much more expense and exposure for the school by being subject to all of these various laws. But no, there's no legal exposure for not letting an employee move out of state at this point.
Good clarification.
That was not a condition of an original condition of their employment, and that there's past practice in allowing somebody else to work out of state.
So again, you have at-will employment, which means you can change the terms and conditions of employment at any time that you want. This has been in effect for a couple of years. You could terminate employees' employment tomorrow, much less change the policies. So no, they don't have a right to insist that you cannot change your policies and make sure you're complying with legal mandates. So no.
Okay.
That was, Wendy, that was explained very well. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions on remote work policy?
No, I'm ready to take a vote on it, but I want to point out one thing in the process of reviewing policies, and that is I thought we had the agreement that if there was a significant change or something significant about a revision, that it would come before the board as a draft at one meeting and be followed up with a vote for approval at a subsequent meeting. And I just want to point out that I think that this was significant enough to bring it forward as a draft at one meeting and approval the next.
Okay. And then We have 6.115, Jerem.
No, we were only doing 4130.
No, but he's got that here. And I'm asking why we have that under there. Jerem, you're muted, Jerem.
It's just under the consent for 5.8, but that's why I was emphasizing earlier that Rudy only wanted to pull 4130 from 5.8.
Thank you for the clarification. That's yeah. Okay. I'd like to call for the approval of 41 under back to the consent calendar since we pulled 5.8. Now vote on the approval. Rudy?
Aye.
Charlie?
Aye.
Tom? Aye. Now we're moving on to a public hearing. I'd like a motion to open the public hearing for 6.1 on LCAP.
I move that we open 6.1 for the public hearing.
Seconded, Charlie.
The public hearing is open.
That would be open at 9:31. Would we? Is that correct?
Yes, 9:31.
Okay, Tabitha, we want to make sure that we open, have the recording of 9:31 as the opening of the hearing. This is an important hearing that takes place annually. It pertains to the LCAP, and we want to give an opportunity for discussion, both anybody who's here and anybody who had the ability to be here, of course, being that it's just those that are currently in attendance, the hearing and discussion will take place amongst them. This LCAP has been shared with multiple educational partners, including WIOLAS, the SELPA. All staff has had input into this as well. There's been significant number of hours put into this, in particular, working in collaboration in much of the work by Moana. Moana's in attendance today, and she's going to give a little bit of a summary and a presentation as a part of this hearing. And of course, open it up for any questions as a part of the hearing. And then this item, and just for understanding, we'll do the same thing with 6.2 in a short period of time, as well as 6.3. These are all public hearings. We'll have the discussions, and they'll be voted on later in the agenda. So Moana, thanks so much for being here. And thank you so much. As you know, I've expressed to you multiple occasions how I appreciate everything you do, in particular with this preparation for the LCAP, putting this together. We'll turn the time over to you. And I'm not sure if you want to share your screen or not, Moana, or do you want Tabitha to do that?
I'm going to go ahead and Tabitha can share it. I can share mine as well. I did send it to Tabitha just in case my computer freezes, which has been doing erratically. So Tabitha is my backup. I do want to thank the board for the opportunity to share with you the overview of our LCAP. I know you've already received the actual LCAP, which is pretty extensive. So I'll just go through an overview of that. And I'll also go over just the annual review portion of it in my presentation. And then we'll if there's any discussion, we can do that afterwards. So I will go ahead and try to share my screen. I just want to make sure we're all looking at the same thing. So if you can see my LCAP overview document.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So I'm just going to go over a brief overview of what the LCAP is. It's a required three-year plan that describes the goals, actions, services, and expenditures to support positive student outcomes that address state and local priorities. The LCAP provides an opportunity for local educational agencies to share their stories of how, what, and why programs and services are selected to meet their local needs. So our overview of our local control LCAP is focused on improving academic achievement, promoting a positive school climate, enhancing student, family, and community engagement for all students, including English learners and those with disabilities. Our goal one, we will improve student academic achievement to help all students graduate by using equity-focused teaching, student-centered learning strategies, a rigorous curriculum, aligned assessments, and access to college and career technical education for all students, including our English learners, other unduplicated student groups, and students with disabilities. So then we look at, in our goal for academic achievement, what actions we have to support our goal. So we have actions that are equity-focused teaching and student-centered learning to ensure that all students, regardless of background or circumstance, have access to quality instruction and resources. We improve academic achievement for all students, including English learners, unduplicated student groups, and students with disabilities. We provide intensive, individualized support to students who have fallen below grade level and face significant challenges to success. We use effective teaching practices, rigorous curriculum, and aligned assessments to support graduation goals. Our teachers, counselors, and specialists analyze student records and provide individualized support. We monitor student progress using multiple measures and offer tiered re-engagement and support services. And we provide professional development for teachers to promote equity-focused practices and effective communication. So before I move on to goal two, are there any questions or input on goal one?
Rudy?
No.
Charlie?
None.
No questions. Thank you.
You can move on. Thank you, Moana.
Thank you. So goal two is focused on enhancing student engagement to foster a positive school learning environment where students feel connected and supported. We will implement a cycle of continuous improvement by regularly monitoring and evaluating student progress, provide individualized evidence-based interventions, and use data to inform decision-making. So our actions that support goal two, we promote a positive school climate and high attendance through evidence-based practices and interventions. We offer tiered re-engagement and student support services, school counselors, and credit recovery options. And we address social, emotional, and mental health needs through partnerships and training for teachers on community resources that are available and how to make those referrals. And then moving on to goal three.
Okay.
To support student learning and achievement for all students, we will establish connections and build partnerships with our educational partners to increase involvement, establish trust, and ensure satisfaction. Effective and meaningful, transparent communication will provide opportunities for inclusive input decision-making at the program and charter level. So our actions that support goal three, we establish connections and partnerships with students, families, and community to increase engagement and involvement. We ensure transparent communication to involve educational partners in decision-making, and we support underrepresented families and students through specialists focused on engagement and outreach. And so within those three goals and the actions that we have to support them, again, this is just an overview. I know you've had a chance to look at the goals and the actions that are a little more comprehensive in description. So if you have any questions on that before I move on to the annual review update.
Rudy?
No question.
Charlie?
No questions. Thank you.
No questions. You can move on. Thank you.
Okay. So looking at our annual review update, we did do a mid-year report that was shared December 10th board meeting. So I'm just going to do an annual review just to update which you have seen in our LCAP. So our goal one is focused on improving academic achievement for all students through effective instruction, challenging curriculum, and aligned assessments. Our metrics demonstrated that we increased our participation in CAS testing and increased our below standard points in ELA by 57.1 points. And in math, we increased by 81.1%, which I'm happy to say it moved us into the orange on our dashboard. Our goal is to maintain that orange or move up to the next level. We have to describe our overall implementation, including any substantive differences in planned or actual implementation of actions. There were no substantive differences in our planned actions and actual implementation. An explanation of any material differences. Our material differences between budgeted expenditures and estimated actual expenditures in goal one were due to an increase in staff and staff professional development to match the growing student enrollment and to maintain adequate support for our students. So for the description of effectiveness or ineffectiveness of actions in making progress toward the goal, our graduation rate declined by 15.5%. As a result, we were designated for comprehensive school improvement, and that plan is in our LCAP. We also convened a committee to review our data to determine our next steps and improvement in that area. We have gone beyond the numbers to analyze various data points beyond just the graduation rate to conduct a root cause analysis, looking at academic performance, attendance, credit deficiencies, and student demographics. We're proud to report that our DOS one-year graduation rate was 86.3%. We had 240 students that were eligible, and of those, our number of graduates at that time was 207. So a description and changes made to the plan goal or actions for the coming year. We eliminated action 1.6 because that writing plan has been established as a regular and sustainable service provided by our counseling department. For LCAP 1.2, for using multiple measures to evaluate each student's level of attaining goals, it has been added to our increased and improved services that are provided to students in the 2024-2025 annual contributing actions, and will continue to be an increased and improved service in the 2025-2026 LCAP because it is focused on identifying struggling students and providing timely support to overcome barriers to achieve academic success. This change was also discussed at our educational partner input meeting.
Any questions on that?
Yeah, a question on that goal. I don't question the current goal or what's been written there for this. I'm thinking in terms of the future where this discussion might take place. Number one, we have standards for our graduates to earn their high school diploma. Do we have a way in which they can take classes that are still at the secondary school level, but beyond the minimum requirements that we require? For example, math, I presume, but hope I would be corrected, geometry is not a requirement. A student taking geometry at this level and completing it would be better prepared for college work or for some jobs if they would be introduced to it at this level. Is it possible for a student of ours to complete the minimum graduation requirements and then take courses in addition to that so that they are better prepared for the next level?
I'm going to, Jeremy, you can chime in after I'm done with my explanation. We do have the A through G coursework that is available to our students. Okay. Our counselors do meet with our students to have a conversation with them, as well as our teachers, to discuss what their educational goals are. And if their goals are to move on to to move on to college, then they have that opportunity to sign up for or to enroll in the A through G coursework that provides them with those additional classes that you're talking about that's beyond the minimum credits required for graduation.
Fantastic. And in the future, would there be a possibility for us to do that in areas that are not necessarily A to G requirements, but preparation for coursework that would be for specific jobs?
Right. I do believe with our partnership through WIOA and our WIOA-like partners that the internships and the other types of classes that they provide them provides them with that opportunity to provide them for whatever careers that they have in mind beyond what we provide.
Gotcha. And we might hear that kind of information presented to us when we hear about the plans for a post secondary follow-up with our students.
Right.
Great. And
yeah, as we continue to have that conversation about our graduation rate and our credits available to our students and how we provide those opportunities to our students, it is part of the conversation when they meet with their counselors and they make plans for their educational goals based on what kind of credits they want to have at the end of their graduation experience.
Thank you.
That makes any sense. I don't know, Jim, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, no, I appreciate everything you said. I agree with it. Another important thing to note is that currently, two things. One is the emphasis on the WIOA, our partnerships with WIOA. They do, in fact, provide those opportunities for students based on the geographic area that the student may live and the resources and plan programs available at that particular WIOA. Additionally, we offer CTE courses as a part of our Edgenuity curriculum that a student can take above and beyond. It's also written in our charter that they can take more classes above and beyond, particularly with regards to CTE courses. What we found, however, over many years now, is that the students, even though counselors and teachers and our program is geared towards that, and we encourage students to do something above and beyond, that they come to us, most of them, vast majority, credit deficient, and they're in a situation in their lives, they just really want to move forward as quickly and effectively as possible to get that diploma, and they're not interested most of the time in doing something above and beyond, even in the CTE routes that we offer. Although it can be very helpful for them in post-secondary, particularly for other jobs, career paths, and so forth, it just hasn't been a sticking, hasn't stuck with them. They haven't been interested in doing it. But of course, we will continue to discuss it. We will continue to encourage them, and hopefully they'll take advantage of those things as their particular needs allow them to and desire. So we do have that in CTE courses now.
Thank you.
Okay, so going on to goal two, it's focused on fostering a positive school climate and high average daily attendance through qualified teachers and evidence-based practices, with a focus on reducing chronic absenteeism and maintaining a welcoming, safe learning environment. So during that annual review process that's in the LCAP, we have to describe the overall implementation. Through our focus on building a positive school culture and fostering student engagement, we celebrate the 93.6% increase of our educational partner participation in our 2023-24 input survey, and our 269% increase in our 2024-25 input survey, and a 27% increase of our student participation in the 23-24 CAPS testing, which is huge for us. Seeing that engagement and having the parents and student participation has been meaningful to us. The explanation of material differences: there are no material differences between our budgeted expenditures and estimated actual expenditures. A description of effectiveness or ineffectiveness: through our focus on building a positive school culture, by fostering student engagement, we recognize an increase in our ADA by 80.65% and a decline in our chronic absenteeism rate by 18.2%. A description in changes made to the plan goal or actions: a modification was made to 2.1 to add tiered re-engagement and student support services to strategies and services we have available to our students. And then moving on to goal three, it's focused on engaging students, families, and community partnerships to strengthen connections and enhance engagement. There were no substantive differences in planning actions and actual implementation. At the explanation of material differences, the total actual expenditures to increase or improve services for high-need students in 2024-25 was less than the amount initially budgeted due to a partial vacancy in the curriculum and instruction coordinator position due to the promotion of that individual. However, the actions and services for high-need students and the overall increased and improved services were not negatively impacted. The services remained consistent. The description of effectiveness or ineffectiveness of actions in making progress: we celebrate an increase in our educational partner participation rate of 270% with 400, that's a lot. My number's wrong. It wasn't 4,000. with 452 input survey participants, and look forward to continuing practices and strategies to continue our educational partner connectedness and engagement in our school program. and a description and changes that were made to the plan goal or actions. A modification was made to 3.2 to reflect the student success coach replaced with the student engagement person. So that concludes the annual update of the LCAP and our presentation of the overview of the LCAP for 2025.
Is there any other questions in our public hearing for LCAP? Rudy?
No question, but an annual thank you very much, Moana. Outstanding job.
Charlie?
I agree with Rudy. Very detailed information of the document. Thank you, Moana.
And Moana, you know how I appreciate it, because from the beginning to now, it's just tremendous, and your work really shines, and it makes people don't realize how important LCAP is to our charter. Without a good LCAP, you really can't spend and budget your money, and you do an outstanding job of drawing it all together. Thank you, Moana.
You're welcome. I appreciate the feedback, Tom, and I appreciate the push.
Okay.
The initial one got me to where I am, so thank you.
Thank you, Moana. We're partners. Is there anybody else that has any questions on the LCAP at the hearing time? Okay, the hearing closes at 9:51.
I also would like to ask for the local indicators, which we're also required to present. Do I do that now, or do I do it later in a non-consent section of the agenda?
Jerem, clarification?
Yeah, sorry, I was on mute there. You could do it now, Moana.
Okay.
Okay, the hearing is still open, Moana.
Okay. So the local indicators is something that we also do annually. You also receive the actual document. So I'm just going to do a brief overview of what is in that document. We are required to share the local indicators with our governing board at the same time that we share the LCAP. So at this time, I'll go forward with the local indicators for 2025-26. I just explained why I'm sharing that with you now. For priority one, the appropriately assigned teachers, access to curriculum aligned instruction. Our statement is that by setting clear expectations for teachers and students of what students are expected to learn in each grade and each subject, we are preparing our students for success in grades 9 through 12 and beyond. For instructional materials, we report full implementation and sustainability in making instructional materials aligned to standards available to all students. For policies and programs to support staff, we report full implementation and sustainability in supporting staff and identifying areas where they can improve, and professional development, supporting any areas they identified needing support with. For other adopted academic standards, Pathway reports full implementation and sustainability in academic standards adopted by the State Board of Education for all students. For implementation of state standards, which is priority two for teacher assignment, we have no misassignments of teachers, of English learners, and there are no vacant teacher positions. All students have access to standards-aligned instructional materials for use at home. For recently adopted academic standards and curriculum, Pathway reports full implementation and sustainability in all core subjects. And then support for teachers and administrators, we report full implementation and sustainability in professional development. For building relationships between school, staff, students, and parents, we report full implementation and sustainability in building capacity in staff to develop relationships with our educational partners, developing a welcoming environment, supporting staff with cultural awareness of our families, and developing opportunities to engage in two-way communication between educational partners and staff in using language that is understandable and accessible. To expand and enhance connectedness, our teachers partner with their families to guide and support the academic development and learning of students. In conformity with Senate Bill 1375, Pathways Academy posts information on the school website identifying the Title IX coordinator and a description of how to file a complaint. Our focus on the continuation of the engagement of our educational partners is reflected in the number of participants and our school input surveys. And then you can see here just our growth over time and the engagement and the connectedness that we have made with our educational partners. where we have moved from 7 participants to our current 451. Improvement in the engagement of underrepresented families in relation to building relationships, to continue our to support and engage all of our students and families and our 59.5% socioeconomically disadvantaged students. We will continue to ensure access and engagement through teacher meetings and access to Wi-Fi as needed. Our survey participants in our input survey, we had English learners was at 20%, students with disabilities was at 8%, our low socioeconomic was 6%, foster youth was 5%, homeless was 8%, our students of Pathways Academy was at 69%, community members was at 4%, our Pathway team members was 9%, and parents of Pathway students was 7%. So to continue to support and engage all of our students and families and include all of our student groups, we will continue to ensure communication, access and engagement through teacher meetings, teacher training, professional development, provision of Wi-Fi access as needed, and translation as needed in communication. For our positive school climate, our positive school climate includes teachers who encourage and support student learning. Pathways Academy recognizes that when teachers make learning meaningful and relevant to students' lives, students develop a stake in their own education. A positive school climate includes teachers who encourage and support student learning. So we look at our respectful climate. A number of reports emphasize the importance of a positive school climate in promoting the skills and knowledge that provide the foundation for lifelong success. Overall, 97% of the students are in agreement that they feel valued and respected by their teacher and school. We have an overall high satisfaction rate with the school program, 99% overall satisfaction with the school providing a safe online course environment, 96% overall satisfaction with students feeling a genuine connection with their teacher and other school staff. The school creates a learning environment where students feel cared for, 98% overall satisfaction with students feeling safe and welcome to meet with their teacher or other staff to discuss their progress, 97% overall satisfaction with students feeling their input is valued and respected when collaborating with their teacher or school staff. 97% reported that during counselor or teacher meetings, the student's well-being was inquired about, and if needed, information for accessing community coordinated services, health, medical, physical, mental health, food, housing, or other public assistance was provided. So what does that all mean? Overall, high satisfaction rate with their partnership with the school. And how will we use this information? We will continue the teacher collaboration and training to maintain and continue to improve the overall satisfaction with the school educational program. We will continue discussions on identifying students that need additional support with coursework, continue to provide information and support for student participation in WIOA, continue staff training on community services available to students and ways to inquire about a student's well-being and provide students with information on accessing services, which is health, mental health, public assistance, and housing. For school safety creates an encouraging environment for students to explore, learn, and grow creatively and academically. Over 98% of the survey participants are in agreement that Pathways Academy Charter is a safe environment where there is support from their teachers. As far as caring adults, developmental research shows that having one or more caring adult increases the likelihood that students will experience success at school. Overall, 97% reported that their teacher inquired about their well-being and provided information on accessing community coordinated services. For access to a broad course of study, teachers and school counselors monitor and collaborate with students and guide them in enrollment in a broad course of study coursework. Teachers and school counselors monitor course enrollment to guide students in graduation course completion, as well as a broad course of study to prepare for college and career. The measures and tools that are used are weekly reviews and teacher meetings of student coursework. In partnership with homeroom teachers, the instructional support team offers pacing plans, drop-in academic support time, and individualized plans to support student learning. And then that's just my reporting time of gathering the data and then reporting on our local indicators for our meeting that we're having right now.
Rudy, any comments?
Just again, thank you very much, Moana. Great job.
Charlie?
No comments. Thank you.
And Moana, again, The LCAP means so much, and you have got it down that you really describe what a fabulous program, and you make us proud when we hear the LCAP that make us all proud of what we're involved in. And that means all of us, from our staff, counselors, administrators, and board. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I want to add that I'm very proud to be a staff member at Pathways, to work with such wonderful, experienced people. So it's a pleasure every time I do the LCAP just to learn how much is done at Pathways for our students.
And okay, now at this time, I would like to close the hearing on LCAP. Yeah, that's 10 o'clock. That was corrected. And again, excellent report. Now that hearing is closed. I would like a motion to open hearing on our proposed budget 6.2.
So moved, Charlie.
I second.
Okay, it is 10 o'clock. The hearing is open. Jerem.
So annually, we have an opportunity to take a look at not only the LCAP as we just did, and then any changes to the independent study policy, which will be in 6.3, but also for our proposed budget for 25-26. I know that, as I've stated before with the LCAP and many of the things on these agendas, but on this particular agenda, there's been a lot of work going on behind the scenes to make sure that we're capturing everything in our budget that needs to be, and making sure that it's compliant with all the applicable laws for preparation for audits and so forth. So I want to turn the time over to Rebecca pertaining to the proposed budget. Rebecca's outstanding, as you know, and she's done such great work in collaboration with myself and several others to present this in this hearing today.
Thanks, Jerem. Would you like me to share on my screen?
Sure.
Okay.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Of course. All right. Good morning, board, staff, and any guests. Today I have for you the presentation of your budget, and I did not get that into full screen. So one quick second, make it a little bit larger. There, are you able to see that? Perfect. Thank you. All right. So let's get started. We're talking about our budget for next year, the fiscal year 2025-2026. Looking at some quick highlights, we are looking for the year to have a surplus of around $930,000 for the year, so around 8%. We have used all of the currently available information, so the most recent COLA information from the May revise that came out. Of course, that could still be adjusted as the budget at the state level is completely finalized, but we are using the best of what we have available to us as of today. This first slide is just kind of a summary of how your LCFF is being projected for the next couple of years based on the projected enrollment and growth between the years, as well as your ADA. So, and then looking at some of the compliance. So we're looking at, for 25-26, an enrollment of 855 students, an ADA of 718.2. Using an attendance rate of 84% to get that difference between the two, an unduplicated count of 51.9%, and this gives us a revenue per ADA overall, not just for the LCFF, at $16,300, and expenses at $15,004. Looking at your compliance ratios, your certificated has to be at least 40. We're looking at 55.7, and the instructional needs to be 80, and we have budgeted at 81.8, so everything's good there. And your pupil to teacher ratio needs to be under 25 to 1, and we are at 20.09 to 1. So everything's looking to be in compliance with all of those required ratios. Then looking at some of your revenue and expense numbers overall for the year, we have about a 21% growth in ADA that is forecasted. So that will take us from 590.6 to the 718.2. So that's what we've kind of set up as the initial target goal of what growth seems reasonable and manageable for this next year. Of course, that will continue to be monitored throughout the year, and adjustments will be made as needed if you have another gangbuster year with fantastic growth. Some of the one-time and special funds that is included in these numbers, we have the Comprehensive Support and Improvement, or CSI grant, is going all the way up to $472,000. So that was more at like $130,000 this last year. So they've had a reduction in the number of schools next year that are eligible for the funding, which has vastly increased the funding award per entity. The special education dollars at both the federal and state levels has also gone up because ADA projection has gone up, similar for the mental health and the lottery grants. And then we have some final pieces for the A to G completion grants of $59,000 that are going to be spent, and finishing up the arts, music, instructional materials block grant of $44,000. So those are kind of the end of those two funding streams. Then looking on your expense side, we have personnel cost increase of approximately $2.4 million to support the growth of the school and all the new incoming students. And that aligns with all of the plans and the budgets that we talked about in our previous meeting. The books and supplies line item of $388,000 includes curriculum software and Chromebook purchases are kind of the primary line items there. And then looking at your professional services line item, that's a total of $964,000 that breaks out. There's a legal estimate of legal services, $100,000, professional development at $250,000, consulting at $166,000, and then variable management fees, which are charter impacts that allows me to be here, as well as the oversight fees from Warner Unified School District. Those two combined are around $335,000. And then interest, I am projecting with the growth that is anticipated for next year that the line of credit will be utilized a little bit less next year because you'll have a little bit more of a higher fund balance going into next year. So that's gone down a bit to just $39,000 for the year. So that's, although it's great to have it there as we use it, the line of credit, it's nice that hopefully we're going to be able to start in the next couple of years, unless you have lots and lots of growth, which, you know, so it's all kind of dependent, but that seems to be turning in the right direction. And growth is not a bad thing. Then looking at your fund and cash balances, we're estimating that for the year you would have a $930,000 balance and an ending balance just over $2 million, with that fund balance or reserve being 19.3% of annual expenses. So really, you know, the challenge is as the school grows and the expenses get larger, your reserve is that much less of those expenses. So we have to grow the reserve as well to keep up and sustain and have a nice reserve on hand for the school. So 19.3 is a nice reserve. You know, it could be a little bit higher, but at least, you know, it's in kind of that range of where we like to see it, certainly. Looking at the month in cash balances, we will still be borrowing from the line of credit. So we have kind of, you're below the 15% kind of recommended cash reserve on hand, but that's because we don't want to be borrowing just for the sake of having cash on hand. We want to be a little bit more mindful of that. And so certainly you will see we start the year with $726,000 and are looking to end the year at just over 1.1 million. So there is growth in the cash that is available during the year. And then there is utilization of the line of credit and subsequent repayment included in the budget. Next, just want to briefly look at kind of the multi-year projection. Where do we see the school going in the coming years? And still very much in the growth model. Each year looking to increase enrollment a little bit more, although trying to kind of set up a reasonable figure out, you know, lots of discussions with Jerem. What do you think you guys are going to do? How much are you going to do? Are you going to keep doubling every year? What is that impact on staff? You know, kind of trying to find what is the great balancing point. So these are kind of the projections we've come up with there in terms of having revenue grow, keeping a nice surplus every year. That's kind of within the expectations of where we want to land, and continuing to build up that cash reserve. So you'll see by the end of fiscal year 2030, that reserve has kind of grown up to almost not quite 40% of your annual expenses. So that's a nice number to look at and see. And, you know, certainly a lot can change in those coming years with all the uncertainty that we have these days, for sure. And then following this, there's just kind of a presentation of these same numbers broken out a little bit more for the next year of how we think all the expenses are going to hit from one month to the next month, and kind of the consolidated surpluses and cash flows and amount of cash on hand with the ratios. And that concludes my presentation of this budget. I think item B is the EPA budget. I don't know if there's any questions on this before I move into that, or if I should just go to the EPA budget.
Any questions, Rudy or Charlie, up to here?
No questions from me.
Yeah, no questions.
You're Rebecca, we just love you.
Thank you, Tom. It's good to be loved. All right, so item B is the EPA or Education Protection Account budget. So this is a specific budget that we are required to present to you separately. It is one of the portions of the LCF funding that you will get that is established by Proposition 30. And because of how this was passed, an expenditure plan has to be presented to the board at the beginning of each year. And then at the end of the year, we provide you with an actual report of here's how these dollars were actually spent. So then, and both of those reports have to get posted onto your website, just so that the public, if they have a strong desire to go look at them, has that information available to them. So out of the total LCFF funding that you're budgeted to have for next year, $143,640 will be from these EPA funds. And then of those that will be all used in instruction, and in fact goes to support one teacher's salary. And that is the conclusion of the EPA budget. If there's any questions?
No questions.
No questions.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rebecca. Really, really appreciate it.
Of course.
Thank you.
Is there any other questions that we have for Rebecca, or can we close the hearing? Do you have any questions, Rudy?
No, I do not.
Charlie?
No, but thank you, Rebecca, for a very informative presentation. Appreciate it.
Jerem, I wasn't sure. Sorry, there is an item C for the BOP, but that's really part of the LCAP more than it is the budget.
Yeah, that was included in the backup material.
Okay.
We don't necessarily need to elaborate on it, but I appreciate you telling us about that. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, but the BOP is basically in alignment with the LCAP, and it just basically says, here's the revenue and the expenses that I just told you about in the budget, and puts it into kind of a budget overview for parent format.
And Rebecca, you've explained it really thoroughly. The budget looks good on our estimates. Are the estimates still with you and Jerem still on the conservative side? You know, we're going to be adding more people to the community resources, which will help us grow more. And we all said we are going to still grow. So, I mean, this is the target. And so any words of wisdom that you want to give us right now, Rebecca, you can tell us.
In terms of your plans for growth?
Yeah, I mean, do you think the budget is on the conservative side, that we can, you know, if we had problems with finances with the state or federal, are there areas that we could pull back in and still make it?
Absolutely. Yeah. Jerem and I have had several of those discussions of, with the uncertainty of the AB, oh, I'm going to forget the assembly bill that's really, doesn't look like it's going to thankfully get passed, based on the latest information we've seen, but that could reduce funding 30%. There's ways that we can adjust and make accommodations to have that happen for the
Thank
school.
you. I just wanted to make sure we could ask that right now. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. No, having no further questions, it's 10, 14, and I would like to declare that is the closed of our hearing. Moving on to hearing for 6.3 for independent study. Can I have the motion to open this hearing?
I move that we open the hearing for item 6.3.
I second it, Charlie.
I have a first and second. The hearing opens at 10:15. Jerem?
So annually, the independent study policy also has a hearing prior to being voted on in the next portions of the agenda. There were minimal changes to the independent study policy, which was provided in the backup. Namely, I would say that pertained to a list having to do with what the evaluation of material that a student is turning in can be based upon, ranging from standardized test scores to oral written presentations to appropriate learning environment, preparedness for scheduled meetings. There's all kinds of different things that were listed. We brought it to legal, had legal update anywhere that needed to be updated, and this was one of those areas. Namely, that needed to be updated. But other than that, the independent study policy is as it was and approved in past years. So nothing that I feel needs to be addressed now, other than what I just pointed out. And I
Rudy,
guess the hearing opened at what, 10:15, I
10:15,
guess it was, right?
10:15, and I'm going to ask Rudy, do you have any questions?
No, I do not.
And Charlie?
No questions.
And I have no questions. So with no questions, I declare this hearing ended at 10:16. Okay, moving on to item 7.1. Do we need a 5-minute break?
I'm okay right
All right.
now, but if anybody
Okay.
else does.
Okay. I just wanted to check. Okay. Hitting on to 7.1. It's an action item. Can I have a motion to open 7.1, the budget adoption for 2025-26?
I move that we open 7.1 action item.
I second the motion.
I have a first and second. It's open for now for the discussion. Jerem.
So it is recommended, based on the discussions that we had in the hearing, that we board adopt the 25-26 school year budget for both EPA as well as the preliminary budget that Rebecca got went over. It encompasses everything that the school needs and encompasses the personnel plan that we approved in the last board meeting, and it also has wiggle room in it to be able to adjust if needs be, as you were asking Rebecca about if it was conservative in our approach, and it is. And we're continuously monitoring the budget always, at least usually weekly. We're looking at it. We're still looking at, for instance, this year's budget, making sure we're spending all those funds. So the budget is definitely a big priority, and it's something that's monitored on a regular basis, every single week, if not sooner than that. So it's recommended the board approve the 25-26 budget.
Rudy, do you have any questions?
No.
Charlie?
No questions. Thank you.
I'd like to call for the vote. Rudy?
Aye.
Charlie?
Aye.
Tom? Aye. Carried 3-0. Moving on to action item 7.2, approval of the 2025-26 estimated amount for property and casualty insurance policies. This is a renewal. I'd like a motion to open this item.
I move that we open this item
7.2.
7.2.
Charlie?
I second it.
I have a first and second. This is open for our action. First for discussion, Jerem.
Thank you. Oftentimes in June, there's a lot of annual renewals. This is one of them. Sometimes in the other months of meetings. We have annual renewals as well, but oftentimes at the end of the year. This is one in particular that's at the end of the year, property and casualty insurance, as we've continued to increase in number of employees, as well as cost of insurance overall has continued to rise. There's an estimated fiscal impact for this at $78,000. Last year was just under $72,000. So it's just a small increase. It's an estimated amount. And I know that IMA, formerly known as Bolton, who we work with as our broker, is aiming to come in below this. If for some reason it comes in above $78,117, I will definitely let the board know and keep you posted on that. But it is, as customary, last year the board approved an estimated amount, and we came in a little less. Same thing with the prior year, and we anticipate that being this year. It's recommended the board approve the renewal rates for the property and casualty insurance for the 25-26 school year.
Rudy, any questions?
No.
Charlie?
No question.
I have no questions. I will call for the vote. Rudy?
Aye.
Charlie?
Aye.
Tom? Aye. Carried 3-0. Moving to item 7.3, which is an action item, approval of school pathways agreement renewal. And this is approval of school pathways agreement renewal. I'd like a motion to open this one.
So moved, Charlie, 7.3 action item for discussion.
I second.
I have a first and second for the action item. Jerem, discussion.
So similarly as the prior action item 7.2, 7.3 is our student information system, which basically houses all of the grades, all of the transcripts, all of the students' personal information, their contact information, their prior school history and so forth. And it connects with CalPADS as well. So it's a very important system that we use. It's specifically geared towards non-classroom based schools or independent study programs that work in an asynchronous environment. So very interested in making sure that we renew this. The fiscal impact's just over $82,000. And we, generally speaking, are very well satisfied with school pathways. There are some areas of improvement. We actually have a meeting with a newly appointed CEO who has also been promoted from within. She was the customer service director prior to being promoted now to CEO a couple of weeks ago. So we know her well. She's actually come and done training for us. Her name is Casey, and we're excited about meeting with her in the next couple of weeks, just about things that we'd like to see improved. But like I said, overall, we're satisfied with school pathways, and it's recommended that the board approve the contract for renewal for the 25-26 school year.
Any questions, Rudy?
What's an example of something that needs to be improved?
One of the things, for instance, that pertains to the enrollment process, when we do registration, we want to be able to have it be a little bit more streamlined in that when a student turns 18, we want to be able to, rather than create a new enrollment for the student at 18, we want to just be able to remove unless there's a FERPA for what was the parent or guardian. Right now, that's not as easily done. As another example would be in our tiered re-engagement. Tiered re-engagement is tracked in part through our school information system. However, currently it doesn't tell you the percentage of students at the various tiers. We think that that needs to be updated at school pathways, and we're looking to have them do that. But that's two examples I would give.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Charlie.
No further questions. Thank you.
Rudy, do you have any other questions?
No.
I'm sorry, I just kind of moved on. Sorry. Okay. And my question I asked you earlier, all of the data that they have, if we change companies, we own that data and could move it to another one. We can always keep all our data of our past students. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. That was just a question. I just wanted to make sure because that keeping our data, if we're ever questioned, is really important. Okay, at this time, I want to call for the vote for to approve 7.3. Rudy.
Aye.
Charlie.
Aye.
Tom. Aye. 3-0. Moving to 7.4, which is an action item to approve the 2024-25 actual Proposition 28 expenditures. A motion to open.
I move that we open item 7.4 for action.
I second it, Charlie.
I have a first and second. 7.4 is open. Jerem.
So 7.4 is the approval of the expenditures for what is Prop 28, which is the Art, Music, and Instructional Block Grant. This money has not been utilized in the past couple of years, in large part because there hasn't been a need on our end to do so. When we use grant money, oftentimes there are a lot of paperwork associated with it, and we want to always tap into those grants if we need to. We haven't had the need to do so. We've had, because of significant growth, a significant increase in regular LCFF funding. So we've elected in the 24-25, I'm sorry, in the 24-25 school year not to use those funds, which are at zero. However, we know that we can use them. And for clarity, the Arts, Music, and Instruction Materials grant is actually quite a broad range of usage. It can be or appear to be misleading in thinking it must pertain to arts and music, but that's because oftentimes the only ones that is mentioned is arts and music, but it's really arts, music, and instructional materials block grant.
You froze.
Oh,
Jerem?
Yes.
You froze.
Am I still frozen?
I'm not getting that on my end.
Nor am I.
Okay, well, it froze here, and it where you said art, music, and what else can it include?
Sure, yeah, thank you. It's arts and music and instructional materials. So oftentimes when we talk about the grant, we forget to say and instructional materials. So in our case, we will likely not use it, and our plan does not show that we will use it in arts and music, but we will, if we do use it, will be in instructional materials, meaning our Edgenuity curriculum could help pay for this. We have budgeted as Rebecca indicated, about $44,000 to be used in this, which would be the extent of the amount of monies that we would get. We're projecting to use that in this next year. But last year, meaning the current year that we're in, right, because it's still until June 30th, we didn't spend any of it.
Okay.
I just recommended that the board approve the actual proposition expenditures report in 7.4.
Okay, Rudy?
No question.
Charlie?
No questions.
No question. Call for the vote. Rudy?
Aye.
Charlie?
Aye.
Tom? Aye. 3-0. Moving right on down to 8.1. This is under educational services. 8.1 is an action item. A motion for approval of local control and accountability plan, the LCAP plan. We want to approve it here. Can I have a motion to open this?
So move, Charlie. Open 8.1 action item.
Second, Rudy.
I have a first and second to open for the approval action 8.1. Jerem.
Really appreciate again Moana's work in getting all this together and collaborating with number of partners, as I had indicated in the hearing, along with the dashboard indicators. It's an excellent LCAP. We're excited to be able to seek approval from the board. It's recommended the board approve the LCAP for 25-26 with the dashboard local indicators.
Okay, we've had an excellent report. I'll call for the vote. Rudy?
Aye.
Charlie?
Aye.
Tom? Aye. 3-0. Moving 8.2, independent study policy 6010. Can I have a motion to open up this action item?
I guess it's my turn. I move that we open action item 8.2.
Oh, you guys are so great.
Yeah, thank you, Rudy. I second it, Charlie.
I have a first and second for the action item 8.2. Jerem.
So 8.2 was discussed in the hearing prior. I think it was 6.3. Independent study policy has been updated to be aligned with any legal requirements that have changed since the last time it was approved. And it's recommended that the board approve the updated 25-26 independent study policy.
Any further questions, Rudy?
I have none.
Charlie?
No further questions.
I have none. I will call for the vote. Rudy?
Aye.
Charlie?
Aye.
Tom Schaff, aye. 3-0. Now, the calendar. Okay. It's listed on our calendar. Our next meeting is September 9th. And that'll be in a very exciting meeting. Somebody will be have served us 7 years. They'll be at that meeting. And let's see. What else? The board will inform the director 30 days ahead. We are following the Brown Act. That's our main calendar items. Now, board comments. Rudy.
Yeah, where are we relative to our recruitment of a new board member?
We have a name has been submitted, and his resume and his introduction letter now is in with Tabitha and Jerem, if I am correct.
I know that we had interest from three, so we had only one that followed up.
We only have one that has followed up as of now, yes.
And are we continuing to have our WIOA partners informed of the vacancy?
Yes.
Okay. Jerem, thank you for correcting the listing of the board of directors for the parent student handbook. I know we talked about the correction for the board chair and vice chair. I forget if we talked about correcting the CFO.
We did, yes.
Okay, great. Thank you. Back to the item on the LCAP and offering quality and challenging programs and the discussion about the A to G requirements and also the workforce preparation opportunities. I sent out an advertisement from University of California at Berkeley relative to their machine learning AI engineering tech program, which is post the bachelor's degree, but coming out with a certificate beyond the bachelor's degree with a starting salary of $150,000, I think could be an attractive carrot to students that are maybe just looking at the present and getting that high school diploma, but are not so motivated as our experiences, as you said today, Jerem, to go beyond that. And while that particular program may or may not be a real solution for our students or our faculty, I think at least what it would do is to open up a thinking about and a discussion for something like a compact with a school of higher learning or an industry with high pay potential. I think that if what's out there for a student is rather this vague life after the diploma, instead that there be one or two programs that we collaborate with other institutions on that are high paying like that, that we can promote among our students, I think that would be one way of getting them to focus beyond today and to start thinking about what their many opportunities are beyond. That's all I have for comments.
Very good. I like that. Charlie.
Well, first and foremost, I really want to extend my kudos to the entire staff for a very successful graduation rate. This is way beyond what we ever imagined. So I'm very pleased about that. Thank you to Moana and Rebecca for your presentations. And I'm really glad to hear that we are going to implement the IXO program. It'll be an effective tool for our students and our staff, and even enhance our LCAP. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. I liked Rudy's AL. I hope we can embed AI, in our curriculum, because I know they're putting it in the elementary and high school programs now and encouraging students to get involved. And I'm hoping that we'll be able to give some direction to all of our students. I gave my second grade granddaughter a book on AI that she was to read with her mother, and her mother said she was too busy. And my granddaughter is already on two different servers and teaching her mother. So yeah, that's kind of exciting.
I tried talking with my grandson about AI as well. He's 13 years old, and his comment was, well, what it's good for is to get the AI to do your homework for you.
Well, and it's good to do that as long as you do it correctly. Our XL is, we've been pushing. We are really proud of our whole staff from Jerem on down to our aides. Everybody's involvement this year has been tremendous. 645 graduates. I don't think we ever dreamed that we would get to that. And not just getting the graduates, then we get Moana and our LCAP with the statistics that they worked so hard to get people to fill it out this last year. I get proud of what we're doing, and it's the team of working together. So I just want to thank everybody for a great year. Okay. And let's see, was there anything else? I get down my list. Nope. Jerem, you get to do it now.
Very good. I want to thank, as you have seen in various direct ways, as you've been in the meeting, and I've mentioned these types of things before, but I want to take the opportunity to thank the team that we have built here at Pathways is really phenomenal. And I don't mean that as hyperbole. They're great. And you see three board members here who are dedicated, who are interested, who want to do what is right for the organization. You see Tabitha and Rebecca and Moana in attendance, who do so many, so many things behind the scenes that just in this meeting alone made it look so smooth and a nice presentation, but there was so much work goes on behind the scenes. And they're just three team members that we're seeing today. There'll be others that will join us, for instance, in September meeting, but we have a fantastic team, from the executive leadership team to the leadership team to the, quote, rank and file staff. Everybody really does their part. And because of that, we really feel we move this organization forward. And it really, and this isn't hyperbole either, can only happen with the board's support and continuous support that we've had over the years. The fact that we've been able to double and double and double, literally, over the past 3 years and get more and more ADA and serve more and more students that are so underserved throughout the state is an indicator that the board believes in these things, and it supports myself and the leadership and the general staff, of course, to be able to do what we do best, and that is serve this population. So I'm grateful for board support. I'm grateful for the team, and I consider the team both the board and everybody in the organization. So thank you for everybody's support. It's a great organization to be a part of.
Thank you, Jerem. At this time, I'd like to have a motion to adjourn this meeting.
So moved, Charlie.
Second, Rudy.
I have a first and second to adjourn this meeting. And the time is 10:39. I'd like to call for the vote. Rudy?
Aye.
Charlie?
Aye.
Tom Schaff? Aye. The meeting is adjourned at 10:39. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Robert, good to meet you.
Well, thank you for having me. It was very interesting, intriguing, and impressive.